Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, among other passages, the righteous versus unrighteous view of living by faith. Christ's great Sermon on the Mount provided valuable insight on God's true righteousness. What Israel's religious leaders greatly lacked is seen in their dead traditionalism. To illustrate the contrast between the Pharisees' unrighteous practices with truly righteous deeds, Jesus gave six illustrations, and the fifth illustration deals with the issue of righteous versus the unrighteous view of living by faith in Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 24. We study the passage for insight, application, and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Matthew chapter 6, 25 verses 25 to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature, actually one span unto his life's, 1 hour unto his lifespan? And why take you thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today exists and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the pagan Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, or each day has enough troubles of its own. That's the phrase. Immediately following his Matthew 6:24 claim that one could not serve God and money, Jesus began verse 25 with the preposition dia, and it's in the accusative case for the word tutal, this, and it indicates that he was about to make a point that was based on his claim about not serving God and money. In other words, he was saying therefore, based upon what he's just said. So to overcome the idolatry of serving money instead of God, Christ directed his hearers not to be anxious, the word is merimnao, for their earthly life. The word suke actually means life, earthly life. What they might eat or drink, or yet for their body what they should wear. One's life consisted of a lot more than what he ingested or what he wore, so he should be more concerned about the totality of his life, including his relationship with the Lord. Accordingly, Jesus taught his hearers the importance of not trusting in accumulated wealth for one's livelihood security in place of trusting God. A repetition of the thought in Matthew 6:24, and he developed and illustrated this concept in Matthew 6:26-34. Now, we'll get into this, but he's not saying, now don't think about that so that you don't go out and get a job. He's not talking about that at all. He's dealing with the anxiety issue. Being anxious. So God takes care of all living creatures, illustrated in how birds do not sow, they do not reap or gather harvest into barns, but God feeds them. And people are far more important than birds. I mentioned this last week. You have a mother robin there, especially in the springtime, and he has all our little birds. The chicks are in the nest. And when the mother comes, she's got the worm or whatever, and the little things open up their mouths, and she just drops them in each one. The mother bird doesn't say there, well, let's just trust the Lord, honey. You just open your mouth and let God drop something from the sky. No, he wants the mother bird to go around and pick up, you know, the food that is on the ground. There are seeds, there are worms, there are things out there. And so birds work And I've been noticing ever since I mentioned this illustration last Sunday, even at this time of the year, as birds are in the process of migrating and they're going south, man, how many birds, especially even little sparrows, are coming from the north going south. They go by and they pick up all the weed seeds. They're going to it. And of course, we throw a lot of our veggie scraps, including some seeds, on our vegetable garden. We got all sorts of birds coming at that. Sparrows, sometimes even blue jays. It's amazing how many of these birds come. So they're always active, but God provides for them. Besides, anxiety over one's life is futile, for no one can even by wise planning extend his age, the Greek word is helikia, by one cubit, and that's figurative for the word hour. The word cubit was picked up by the King James Version, and so instead of looking at the word as age, they thought of the lifespan. But it's, you can't add to your age even 1 hour. The emphasis is there. So the translation of adding a cubit to one's stature here actually errs. Christ then referred to the issue rather of being anxious about clothes, noting that the lilies of the field were clothed with a beauty that exceeded the magnificence of Solomon's attire, that if God so clothed the lowly lilies of the field that grow today but are soon cast into the oven, he certainly would clothe his people who are far more valuable to him than the lilies of the field. That's something. That's one of the things that God wants us to think of when we look at beautiful flowers, especially in the spring. Well, we've got some beautiful flowers that come in the fall, too. I've noticed the daisies, and then you've got the mums and everything. But there's a real beauty about them. But if God clothes these flowers, he'll take care of us. So Jesus taught us here is not to be anxious. You have the Greek word memnao again, about what they would eat or drink or how they would be clothed. Things for which pagan Gentile and the Gentile world seeks, for their heavenly Father knows that they have need of all these things. You know, it's interesting. God is looking at us, and we're concerned about clothes, we're concerned about food, and God knows where all the cancer cells are in our body. In fact, if you don't know this, everybody has a little bit of cancer. It's when you're young, your body is able, your immune system is able to stay ahead of it. But when you get to the point where your immune system can't, that's when cancer begins to take over, and that's when you allegedly acquire cancer. But God knows all of that. He knows where all of these things are in our bodies. He knows the pluses, the minuses. He knows how long we're going to live. In fact, in Psalm 139 that we're going to be coming to one day, before all of the parts of our human bodies existed, God had them recorded in a book. And he knows exactly how long they're going to last. You know, some of us, we lost our appendix early. I lost a spleen at a certain age. I lost tonsils. Those were in the days when they were taking everybody's tonsils out. Nowadays, they try to leave them in. But God knew all of that. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered, and that's easier for some people than others from God's perspective. But nevertheless, he knows all about that, and yet we're concerned about clothes, we're concerned about food, and God's more concerned about us. Rather, they should seek the interests of God's kingdom, and his righteousness is a priority number one, and all these livelihood necessities would be added unto them through the oversight of God. Those two verses, I love to use those, not only in my own life, but in counseling. Seek ye first. What's your priority? Seek first the kingdom of God. And that is using your gift, using your everything, focused on the Lord. He'll take care of the money. He has a will for us, and he wants us to focus on that will in our lives. And as we do that, he'll take care of the food needs and the clothing needs that we need in order to do his will. Because the number one issue with God is doing his will. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things itself. Every day has enough troubles of its own. Even the Lord knows that we have troubles every day. So we have to take care of that. We have to leave that with the Lord. So each day has enough trouble of its own. You don't have to add worry to it about over a livelihood concern. Now, as in his comments on money back in Matthew 6, 19 to 24 that we covered, Jesus did not remove God's requirement that a believer obtain a livelihood to fulfill his duties to his dependents, as stated in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, that says we need to work if we expect to eat. 1 Timothy 5:8, a man, if he doesn't take care of his own household dependents, he's worse than an unbeliever. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, that talks about the importance of getting clothing and a housing cover. And then the means of subsistence, the means of taking care of ourselves over a period of time. And of course, towards retirement and everything, that may involve a lot more money, and money that's saved up when we can't do the work ourselves. And we noted this in our last lesson. So Christ's comments in Matthew 6, 25 to 34 dealt with the issue of anxiety over acquiring a livelihood, not actually earning a livelihood to provide for one's dependents. The problem with anxiety is that anxiety constitutes idolatry, where one has come to rely on material possessions or in the money that buys material possessions instead of on the Lord for security. And that's the issue that Jesus addressed back in Matthew 6, 24. You can't serve God in money. You've got to serve the Lord. Got to live for the Lord. So God, though God holds us responsible to work for a living, to care for the livelihood needs of our households, he condemns anxiety over our obtaining these provisions as sin. Our trust for our livelihood should not be in our accumulated provisions themselves, but in the Lord who provides them for us. That's exactly what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says. So in application, if we're anxious about our livelihood provisions, we must confess this anxiety to God as a form of sinful idolatry and return to viewing the Lord as our provider for those needs. And number two, to avoid the sin of idolatry regarding our livelihood needs, may we focus on the will of God and see him meet our needs. That's Matthew 6:33. This is fascinating. This afternoon, I happen to be on the internet, and I just happened to glance at yahoo.finance, and there's a story that's come out. This is amazing. 20% of everybody who works in finance in this country has reported, and these are financial advisors on investing and whatnot, they have reported that they have poor mental health because of the stress of what's going on in the financial field. And that's something, 20%. These are professionals. These in large cities like New York City, Chicago and everything, where you have the Chicago Board of Trade. And this is a big, big issue. Susie Orman, who is a financial guru, I don't know if you're into financial gurus or not, but she's one who has been an advisor for people. She used to recommend that people needed to have up to $2 million in order to retire. But because of what's happening with the explosion of the national debt and all, and inflation, she's now saying you have to have over $4 million in order to retire, which I think is, you know, way out. I keep getting ads and have had ads from Fisher Investments to say that an average couple can actually, if you're going to watch your P's and Q's, you can take care, $500,000 should take care of you. The problem is those of us who are in baby boomers and those who are younger, the lifespan of Americans is extending. Increasingly, numbers of people are living up to the age of 100, and you don't want to outlive all that, and that's been a problem. So this is a very apropos, very fitting application for us. God knows the needs that we have, and he will meet those needs. What we need to do is to focus on the will of God, and he will take care of us. We've seen this happen in so many lives. We just heard of another couple in our church. Recently, they paid off their house. They were delighted. They've been working on this. They've been carefully planning. They've been plotting. They've organized their finances, but they've paid it off. And now that's going to make for easier breathing room. But they have been committed to the Lord. There's a committed couple within our church. And I think it's wonderful that that can happen. God can take care of us, and he will take care of us. But what we have to do is exactly what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about money itself. That's a form of idolatry. God wants us to love him.